Well, welcome to the Straight Talking Repost preview show. We're here again for the next hour. And, of course, joining me as usual, to my right or to your left, depending on how you look at it, of course, is Mr. Sawyer. Evening, sir.
Hello there.
And, of course, to my far right, the man that doesn't need a TV in his bedroom, the stud himself, Mr. Barker. How are you, mate?
Evening, everyone.
I suppose it's been one of those weeks. I suppose we've had a few games today, and I suppose we should talk about those, I suppose. But we've had a few games, and of course, Keith, of course, at VCD has ended up on a 3-1 defeat to Ashford. You know, no, just it's 1-0 up. Do you both you two guys think that playoffs might be over for VCD for another year?
I do. I was hoping that we'd be doing this show saying, you know, this is going to be an excellent ending for VCD, and I was going to fancy them to sneak in there ahead of Hayward Heath, but unfortunately they've lost today and now they've got a bit of a mountain to climb in the final week.
Yeah, it's a shame. Obviously we'd like Keith to get in the playoffs, but we said a couple of weeks ago we thought he might just fall short this season, didn't he? So yeah, looks that way at the moment.
But of course, nothing's dead just yet. They've got some tough games ahead of them in Hayward's Heath as well, haven't they? So they've got Ramsgate tomorrow, and I think you've got Ashford as well. But we'll have a look at that when we get onto their game later. But I think they've still got some tough games, so maybe still there just for him. But I mean, it's Phoenix up next in the local derby for him on Monday, so that could be a right humdinger of a game now.
Certainly will be. I'll be having a bit of that on Monday. They'll be fancied to win it, or will they be a little bit sort of devastated after today's loss and Phoenix can take advantage? We'll see.
It's certainly going to be interesting for Keith, and I don't suppose he's going to give up just yet, but I expect it will be quite a close affair at the weekend. But shall we start off then in the Premier Division then, and start off with a game really that I was just saying before we went on air that quite surprised at the form table, when you look at the form table in the Bostic Prem, to maybe where one of these two sides are in the Bostic form table. So the game's Harlow Town against Enfield Town. Harlow are 20th in the form table and Enfield Town are 19th in the table. Are you surprised, before we go on to the actual game, that Andy's Enfield Town and are that far down the actual form table, Mr. Barker?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they signed some good players in the summer. They got some good coaching staff, good experience there. Yeah, I know there was high hopes for Enfield this year. I know they won the cup recently, but I think they'll be hugely disappointed. They're not going to make the playoffs. And I can see Harlow actually winning that game tomorrow.
Mm. Okay. Mr. Sawyer, what do you think?
Yeah, much agreed. I remember we was talking about Enfield a few weeks back, and you know, they had a good chance of sneaking into the playoffs. But as you were saying, they want a bad run of form. That's cost all that, you know, and them and their big name players are not going to now get the playoffs. And just like Dean said, they now go to a Harlow, and people are actually fancying a team that's in 22nd to possibly beat them, which is a little bit strange. They should have been in and around the playoffs. They're now 12th. Disappointing campaign for them.
Mm. And I'm just looking at their games there. I mean, literally, Harlow have won one, drawn one, lost four. They've lost 7-2, 5-1, 3-1, 5-2. Enfield 1-1, 3-1, drew 3-3, then 3-1 loss, 1-0 loss, 2-1 loss, and a 3-0 loss. Minus 5 goal difference, Harlow Town minus 12 goal difference. And of course, the news, I suppose, is Whiteleaf win at the weekend. So win tomorrow and Enfield Town win tomorrow, then other than a major turnaround in goal difference in the last couple of games, it's relegation for Harlow.
Yeah, it's must win for them tomorrow. They know what they got to do. Funny things have happened. There's still three games to go. Burgess Hill lost today, didn't they?
Mm.
So that was a bad result for them. But yeah, there's big pressure down the bottom.
So, I mean, you know, two really sort of, you know, two big sides really, aren't they? Especially, and I suppose Harlow themselves, you know, fantastic ground, 3G surface, you know, had some fantastic players down there in the likes of Dadson and Smalley and David Hughes and Alex Reid, and the list goes on and on and on and on. I mean, and of course then down at Enfield Town as well with the likes of Billy Bricknell and all these down there. I mean, are you quite surprised that, you know, tomorrow we're talking about a game of, and who, you know, a game in the context that we're talking about it, and do you think that, you know, I don't know, it, what type of game is it going to be tomorrow, do you think?
Well, it's what it is a must-win game for Harlow. Is it a big game for Enfield? You know, they're going to finish mid-table, whatever happens now. They might want to sneak it back into the top 10, but there's nothing major for them now to go for. For Harlow, it's everything. They brought in some big-name players, but they're expected, when they brought them in, to get them out of trouble. They've got a lot of work to do. You know, there's three teams that are going to go down out of them four, and Harlow have possibly got the hardest job because they've got the least points and are less fancied. But if they can win it tomorrow, it's game on. Anything can happen then.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. It's definitely game on. Obviously, Harlow, Wingate and Whitehawk would have got a lift with Burgess Hill losing today. I know Wingate have got Burgess Hill last game of the season as well. So, obviously, both of those teams can't get 3 points on the last day of the season. So, Harlow win tomorrow is two games to go. They're still in with a chance.
So, I mean, tomorrow, I don't know, who do you think, do you think Billy Bricknell is going to be the person to be looking out for tomorrow? Is he the man that could, that Harlow have got to be careful of tomorrow?
100%, yeah. He's got to deliver it. He's lost his place at the top of the top goal scorer charts in the past week or two. He'll see this as a game to nick a couple and get back up there. That's what he's playing for. He'd probably be selfish to get it. And probably, unlike you guys, I fancy him to do it and them to give Harlow a bit of misery.
Yeah, I think the opposite. Like I said earlier, I think Harlow can beat them tomorrow. It's at Harlow tomorrow, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. I fancy Harlow to win tomorrow.
But, of course, for the other big news sort of coming out of Harlow as well in the last 24 hours is that, of course, the team that's been there for quite some time sharing the ground in Enfield FC have up sticks and gone to Bishop Stortford.
Yeah, obviously some clubs rely on that money heavily, don't they? I mean, Harlow will always get people to play there because it's a 3G. Don't know if there's a falling out or sort of they just decided to move on. But, I'm sure there'll be other teams wanting to ground share at Harlow.
That'd be interesting to see who ends up there, I suppose, in the long run. But, I mean, so then, tomorrow, what do we see the score being there tomorrow?
Right. Well, I fancy, I'm going to go with Enfield. I've written it down. I'm going to stick to it. I've got Enfield to win 2-1.
Mr. Barker, what do we think?
2-1 to Harlow for me.
Okay. And I've gone 3-1 to Enfield tomorrow. I suppose you have a big game down at the bottom, but of course both of them have been sort of improving of late. And I'm just looking to see where they are. I mean Potter's Bar, they're sitting there in 13th. I'm just trying to see if we can find Corinthian Casuals, of course, and Corinthian Casuals are 11th in the form table. But again, a fantastic achievement for Potter's Bar, realistically staying in the division this year. And I mean, that's got to be a great coup for them coming up into a stronger division this year. And they had a few issues, of course, around the ground grading and all that sort of stuff, which could have took their eye off the ball as well. And yet, another season for Potter's Bar in the Bostic Prem.
Yeah, it's great for obviously being a Potts Bar lad. It's great for Potts Bar. They've never been at that level before. It'd have been a great learning experience for them. Obviously, they lost their manager sort of halfway through the season. And that they were looking sort of like they were going to struggle for a long time. But they, great win at Margate last week. And that's enough. And they can enjoy the last couple of games now.
It is an amazing achievement, Mr. Sawyer. Do you not think so? Somebody, a little tiny little club like them, you know, staying up in amongst all the big boys, when you would have thought possibly at the beginning of the season they might be one of the favourites to be in that relegation zone at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think they'd be over the moon. I mean, when they when a club like that goes up to the top division, you know, their mission is to sort of come forth from bottom, I guess, and they've gone into the final couple of weeks of the season quite safe. They're not going to go down, really. You know, they've been decent. Well done to them. Hopefully they'll now build on from that and climb a few places more for next season. They'll just see out the season and should be happy with their work they've done.
Corinthian Casuals, though, another one of those sides that, you know, have sort of seemed to have got their, found their feet in the division as well as Potters Bar. And, I mean, literally, another one of those sides that people may have looked at and said, again, one of the favourites to be in that in the bottom three as well. We've, you know, literally, as you saw, we've seen on the programme on BT Sport and so forth, because they don't play none of their players either. So, you know, probably maybe even a bigger achievement maybe than what Potters Bar.
I think so. I think with the way they played with their budget, you know, again, they've come up. They will have been aiming to come fourth bottom, and they're looking like that's the sort of position they're going to come. They're going to play again there next season, which is really good. They're a lovely club, as everyone did see, like you said, in the programme. So, well done to them and both these teams, really.
I mean, have you seen much of them, Mr. Barker? Have you seen much of either the two sides, Potters Bar or Corinthian?
Yeah, I've actually seen quite a bit of both. I've seen Potts Bar a few times. Obviously, I think I was a bit of a bad luck omen for Potts Bar, because every time I watched them, they were really poor. But yeah, no, fair play. I know a lot of the people at Potts Bar, so I'm really pleased they've stayed up, and it's a great achievement for everyone involved. Corinthian Casuals, we went there in the trophy last year, actually. And yeah, they, by all accounts, they sort of beat Wingate pretty easily on Saturday, mm-hmm. Which was disappointing for the Wingate fans out there. But yeah, they've both done really well, and they can enjoy their summers now. Mm. I mean, big signings for Potts Bar were getting Marvin Morgan in and getting Ben Martin in towards the end of the season. Good experienced players, and they've got them over the line.
What do you actually see the future for these two clubs in Corinthian and Potts Bar? I mean, I'd expect if we shut down the betting right now, they'd probably be two of the favourites yet again next season as well. I mean, you know, where do you see the future? Do you see these guys sort of holding their own again next season and then pushing on maybe a little bit more, and then maybe the following season maybe pushing up to the top echelons of the league?
I don't personally, but it's them being in Step 3 football is a massive achievement. So if they can stay at that league and establish themselves as a Step 3 football club, I think it'll be good for them going forward.
Totally agree. If you look at the clubs that have already guaranteed to come up, they're very strong teams. So teams like Potters Bar and Corinthian Casuals are not going to probably be able to even compete with them. So very much I think their aim again is to get around a 15th, 16th, 17th finish. They'll be happy with that. Sustain that for a couple of years and try and build it slowly.
So which one of those two sides would you say would, you know, is going to be the better of the two teams, say, this time next year?
Depends who they sign. Hmm. Yeah, depends who they sign. If Potts Bar keep the experienced players they've got, they know, sort of, those boys know how to play the level, don't they? So it'll be interesting, I imagine. Sort of James will come in for a few of them to go to Chesham in the summer, and then yeah, the manager will have to get his own players again.
Hmm. I mean, is it one of those things though with those sides where they've done well that all of a sudden people might be coming along and start cherry picking, you know, some of their players, and then again it's almost like a brand new start for them.
Yeah, especially tricky when you're casuals and you're not paying, you know, and you've got players like, they got a super striker called Warren Mfula that was popular around our parts, scoring bundles of goals, you know. You would imagine that people can just come in and offer him a good deal and they might go. But they've obviously got a good setup and people like playing there, which is their benefit. And, you know, hopefully that will get them to keep them sort of players. But unfortunately, when you do well at a club like that, you are liable to move on quite quick.
Mm. I suppose while we're on this division, I suppose we should say, I don't know if you saw it today, but Mr. Gabriel, of course, the ex sort of Haybridge, sorry, Haringey player scoring today against Salford. I don't know if you saw that today. Got a penalty that he got today. So, you know, congratulations.
Yeah, they were 2-0 up, weren't they? Lost 3-2.
Yeah, they. I think Salford were 2-0 up, weren't they? Got it back to 2-2, and then Salford scored with the last kick of the game, I was saying. And won 3-2, which was a bit annoying, being an Orient fan as well. But there we go. But these things carry on to the weekend. But, I mean, with the Potts Bar Corinthians, I mean, where do we see this one going?
Right. Well, for me, you've got the team with the worst home form in Potters Bar up against the team with the worst away form in Corinthian Casuals. This all sets it up for a horrible match, and I'm going for 0-0.
I was going to be a little bit more exciting and say 1-1.
And I was going to go 5-0. No, I wasn't. I've got a sneaky suspicion that Corinthian Casuals might win this, and they might win it by 2-1 tomorrow. I was going to go into the Brentwood game next, but we're going to I'll leave that one and put that one to the end alongside the Romford one, which we go to. Let's go then to a side that, of course, we have adopted on both shows as being our team, and what a fantastic result for everybody down at Molesley at the weekend. Really, really has put the cat among the pigeons now in that division. But oh boy, they get a great result, and look who comes over the hill to play them next, Hayes and Yedding. Where do we see this going tomorrow? Do you think that they might cause a shock tomorrow?
I think this is the sort of game where you actually think it's going to happen, that they are going to shock them, isn't it? Because you like going for these crazy predictions.
I've just got a feeling it's going to happen. I've said when I spoke to Craig when we did My Life in Football with him, I even said to him then that I had a sneaky suspicion that, you know, their eyes might be off it because of, you know, they've won the league already, etc., etc. And you know, there's a great opportunity for you to go there and actually win the game. You know, they almost done Marlow, didn't they? So why not? You know, why not? So I dare say he's driving the tractor right now, right over that pitch, and scuffing it up as much as he possibly can, ready for tomorrow. But it's going to be really interesting.
They've been brilliant. You know, they've won three of their last five home games. I sort of had written them off a little bit, although we was always like hoping they could do it. I didn't see it, but actually it is on the cards. I think tomorrow's going to be a little bit too much. And we say that Hayes and Yedding might take their foot off the gas, but like they have won their last five since they lost to Marlow, and you know, they like to score goals for fun. So I do worry a little bit for Molesley, but what a good week winning on Tuesday night, scoring early and holding it all the way through. And you know, fair credit to them, they've got a great chance of survival. And although I don't think they're gonna do it tomorrow, I do think that they could get away without getting relegated this year. I fancy them to just about sneak South Park and climb above them.
Mm. I'm just looking at the form table before we get Mr. Barker's opinions, but Molesley are 15th in the form table, lost 4-1-2, and Hayes and Yedding are actually only second.
Disappointing.
They're second. Lost one five in theirs, and that loss was a 2-0 defeat. Yeah, so 2-0 defeat. So. Interesting. I mean, do you actually see it as being a complete walkover for Hayes and Yedding, or do you see them that Molesley might actually make a little bit of a shock?
I think Molesley can get a draw tomorrow.
See, I'll be honest with you. I don't know why, and I've said it for some time. I think it just, for me, it just seems like it might be written in the stars that could be the one that throws it into their favour, and everybody's not expecting it. Everybody's going to take their eye off it because they're not expecting them to do it. And then all of a sudden, they do it, and that's what causes.
Listen, when a team's fighting for something, and another team sort of job done, there is, it's human nature.
Yeah.
So it's to not be as sort of at it as you have been, could be, whatever. And that's where you can get the shock.
And what would you say would be, you know, for them? I mean, what would be the way to get the shock, shall we say?
Well, two ways. Stay in the game as long as you can. Because obviously if you go 1-0 down early, your heads can drop. But if you go in front, you've got something to hang on to, then, haven't you? Mm. And when you've got something to hang on for, you can find that bit of energy that you don't normally have.
Dean, I mean, you seem a non-believer, Mr. Sawyer.
I'm afraid so. I'd like to join in your gang here, but I just can't. It can't happen tomorrow, you know. If they are going to win, I think, like you say, they're going to have to rough the pitch up and rough the game up. But Hayes and Yedin are good. You know, they're so far clear for a reason. And although they might be only playing at 95% tomorrow, their 95% is much better than Molesey's 110%, I'm afraid. So that result's only going one way. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So come on in, what are we going for?
1-0.
1-0.
95th minute, equaliser, pitch invasion, all of
things. Scenes. For me, 4-0, Hayes and Yedin.
Are you ready for this one? I've actually written this one down, and I wrote this one down on the sheet at the beginning of the week. It's going to be a goal fest, an absolute goal fest down there, because I don't honestly believe that Molesey will be able to, you know, hold them out in Hayes and Yedin. But then I've just got this sneaky suspicion that Molesey will be right up for it. So I'm going to go for one of the weirdest scores of all time. I'm going 5-4 Molesey.
It is 5-4. Hell of a game. It's going to be a hell of a game.
It'll be interesting to see, won't it? But moving on, Marlow against South Park. Where do we see with this one?
Well, similar sort of game, really, isn't it? It's a team right at the top of their game against a team struggling and potentially getting relegated. I suppose where it's different is that at least you can get Molesey have been on good form, getting some decent wins and a win in midweek, but South Park haven't really, and they've got a very tough run in. They've got this game against Marlow, then Waltham Abbey and Tooting, so all teams right at sort of in the top eight. I struggle to see where they're going to get a point from. That's why I kind of think with Molesey's games against Norfolk and Chipstead, you know, there might be points to come there. That puts South Park in a lot of trouble. I do fancy them to go down, and it will start with a reasonable defeat to Marlow, who are in great form. You know, they beat FC Romania last time out, although they had to rely on two penalties, but they've only had one defeat in nine. They're in the playoffs, and they're one of the teams that we might fancy to go through to the Premier.
Mm. Well, looking at it now, you know, I mean, South Park, they're on 28. Molesey on 27, and Molesey have got the better goal difference as well, minus 38 to South Park's minus 46.
Yeah, so from that point of view, they only need a draw out of their three games if South Park are to lose them all, like I fancy they will. So if they can nick a draw, well, they won't be nicking a draw against Hayes and Yedin, as we know, but if they can nick a draw at Norfolk or Chipstead, that could be their route to safety, and that's what I'm hoping and expecting to happen.
I'm just looking at that, as you just said, you know, the games that they have got coming up towards Chipstead after this away on Monday, and then they finish with a home game against Norfolk, and I could see them certainly getting 6 points out of that.
Well, and I don't think they need that many, so you might be being a bit greedy for them, but I think, you know, one or three might be enough, because I don't fancy South Park to get any, and if they are, it's probably only going to be one. Mm. So maybe one win out of their last three games it could be enough.
But it could be a great game end of the season, couldn't it? South Park against Tooting, and as you said, you know, as well, tomorrow, on Monday, South Park Tooting, Chipstead, Molesey. I bet there's going to be a few people looking at football web pages, and I suppose this is where football web pages comes into its own, isn't it? Where everybody's sort of like, especially at the bottom end, they're all looking at the results and as they're pinging through on the system. But I suppose just got to hope that they don't get it wrong like they did today for Leighton Orient, where Leighton Orient was supposedly 2-0 up from about 60 minutes and they didn't score until 90 plus. So, but football web pages was actually saying they were 2-0 up for quite some time. So,
yeah,
But I mean, well, Marlow though. I mean, what chances are we giving Marlow in the playoffs? I mean, it's looking very much like, you know, that. Well, they're definitely going to be in it alongside Bracknell, alongside Chessant. I mean, it's going to be Westfield now.
Well, lost today, didn't they?
Yeah, but exactly. Westfield have now got a four point swing on the same amount of games as Tooting. So is that enough for Westfield as well?
Now, Westfield have got a tough running. They've got Bracknell, Chesant and Waltham Abbey. I'm still not writing off Tooting and Mitcham, although they've got like about 4 point gap to make up. They've got South Park, Chalfont and FC Romania, which are all, I fancy to win them all. And Westfield maybe only to get 4 points, and that would give Tooting and Mitcham the place. Mm. So yeah, I'm hoping they make it.
I said a little while ago, I thought Tooting would get in the playoffs and South Park would go down. So, because I think Molesey will get a couple of wins between now and the end, and I can't see South Park getting enough points to stay up. So, be interesting to see in a week's time whether we was right or wrong.
Mm, absolutely. So what are we going for, Marlow versus South Park? What do we reckon?
Well, I'll kick it off. You guys have obviously done a crazy South Park 5-0 win or something, but I'm going 3-1 Marlow.
I'm going 2-0 Marlow. Oh. Marlow don't concede many goals.
I'm going 5-0 Marlow.
Woo!
I just think...
South Park winning.
Yeah, South Park the win. So going into one of the clubs that contacted me during the week wanting to come on the NK show, and then of course they're more than welcome. We're trying to get hold of them for Tuesday night in Greenwich Borough against Whiteleaf, and I suppose the shock was you shocked at the result against Guernsey with it being a draw?
Guernsey missed
the
penalty, didn't they? Mm.
Yeah, Guernsey missed a penalty. Greenwich scored a penalty again. No, that was a big game, you know, because if either side had won that, they would have then been in big pole position going into the final sort of two or three games. So they shared the points. It now it leaves it an exciting, very exciting finish. Guernsey have got tough games. I'm at Guernsey's game tomorrow, actually. They're playing Phoenix at Phoenix, so I'll be there for that 2 o'clock kickoff. And then they got Horsham, and Horsham are second. They're a very, very good team. Guernsey are in awful form. I think, you know, I don't think they've had a win in the last 10 or so. So, you know, they're seeing the season out very, very badly. But they do have the goal difference ahead of Greenwich. And Greenwich do need to pick up a point or three in these last two games, which are both tricky. They've got Hastings and then the game tomorrow against Whiteleaf. Two tricky games.
Well, looking at the form table, Guernsey have only got two teams that have got a worse form guide than them. One's Sitting Bull, and the one which Keith won't want to hear is Ramsgate, are in 18th. Then Guernsey's 17th, East Grinstead in 16th, and then Greenwich Borough in 15th. So they're 2 points better off than Guernsey in the form table. So, I mean, do you guys fancy Greenwich to stay up and Guernsey to leave us?
I don't. I think Guernsey is that.
Yeah. I don't see either of them winning or getting a point in any of their games. That's the problem. So although I think Greenwich have got more chance of getting a point, I think Guernsey will lose both their games fairly comfortably. Whereas tomorrow's game for Greenwich is close, and you know, I've been divided on it. I went to see Greenwich actually the last Sunday. I think they played Cray Wanderers when Cray should have won the title. Cray bashed them up, but they ended up drawing 1-1. Jamie Stewart, unbelievable performance at centre back, pretty much single handedly kept Cray out time and time again. He was brilliant. But they I didn't think they had enough in the attacking wise to get enough goals, really. They're a bit of a one-man team going forward, I find. They've got a speedy winger with an awkward name. And although he's been scoring penalties in the last few games, he often scores from free play, and he's really good. But apart from him, there ain't a lot else, I don't find. and Whiteleaf are decent. The only thing that has made me question it is Whiteleaf, you know, haven't got a lot to play for, so you know, they can't get in the playoffs. So are they going to down tools? You know, that'll be what Greenwich hope. And Greenwich's pitch is awful as well, and they're spoilers, and they'll play all the dark arts and stuff and go for it. But at the end of the day, it's still 8th v 19th, and 8th should be the team that wins it.
Mr. Barker?
Yeah, pretty similar to what Dean said in terms of, yeah, I think they'll beat them. But like I said, I think Guernsey will stay up. Again, pretty similar to, I can't see Greenwich or Guernsey getting too many points in their last three games.
I mean, me personally, I do worry. I worry massively for Guernsey. I think maybe a little bit different from you. I see Hastings winning tomorrow. Greenwich winning tomorrow. And I've just got a sneaky suspicion that we could possibly lose Guernsey this year, which I hope doesn't happen, if I'm honest.
True.
So yeah, I'm still up to that game.
So what do we reckon score wise?
Well, I'm cheering on Greenwich. I live quite near their ground and go there often, but. I just can't see him winning this game, and I've gone for a 2-1 Whiteleaf win.
Mm-hmm. I've gone 2-1 Greenwich, Bar.
I'm going to go 2-0 Whiteleaf.
Someone's just come in and asked a question. I don't know if you guys have seen the question that's popped up on the screen, but Steve Gleeds asked, "What of our, what do we think of Step 6 side hashtag United?"
I know him well. I know him really well. In terms of what?
Just the, what club, the club and that in general. I read somewhere, and I'm sure, and I might have misread it, I don't know, but I'm sure I read somewhere that we were talking earlier on about Enfield Football Club leaving Harlow, and I'm sure I read somewhere that the new team going in is going to be hashtag United.
Well, they play at Haringey Borough at the moment.
Right.
So, obviously, what league they go in next year will be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, when they play teams, they bring a lot of supporters. So it's a good payday for the away team. The rights and wrongs of it, obviously, yeah, they're there to be seen. No grounds. Obviously, they've just walked straight into Step 6. They've got players who could easily play Step 3, Step 4. But they're obviously paying well, and players like the exposure of playing for hashtag. It's an interesting debate.
Mm-hmm. So Steve's come back and said not true. I don't know what he was in relation to, Steve. Is that going to Harlow or just walking into Step 6? What do you see as not true? But it'd be interesting with them, though, doesn't it? I mean, I the only time I heard of them before, you know, we saw everything at the beginning of the season, was that they were one of the teams that were playing that Arsenal fan TV in tournaments.
Yeah, they played at the Wembley Cup with all the four YouTube teams. I know Seb well, and I know a few of the hashtag boys. So they're very good with the kids and promoting the youth and all that sort of stuff. A lot of kids enjoy watching them on YouTube and going to the games and stuff. So, yeah, listen, if we played them, I'd be happy to play them. And obviously, I'd embrace what they're about.
Well, yeah. Steve's come back and said, can I clear that up? No player gets paid. Hashtag, I'm assuming.
Okay.
I think what you said about the ground makes sense. I know when they got the Haringey ground, they weren't over the moon, but they had to accept it because that was their route into Step 6 football. Very much agree with what Dean was saying, you know. I've got two young lads that love watching these YouTube teams, and we'd been to watch hashtag in the last year or two, and my boys watch their videos, you know, every time they come out. You know, we very much got to embrace these sort of teams because, you know, we're getting clubs folding because they've got small crowds and there's these YouTube teams coming up that are getting very, very big crowds. I went to a game on Sunday a Sunday Cup final with one of our local YouTube teams. It was held at Maidstone, and the team was called SE Dons, and there was 2,000 people at the game, which was crazy. And they won their cup, and the scenes was amazing, you know, on the pitch at Maidstone, and all their videos get, you know, they've got 100,000 subscribers and all that, and they're following the path that Hashtag have set, and they will probably get into Step 6 football in the next few years. So Hashtag are leading probably the future in football around sort of Step 6 level, because, you know, one team's getting a crowd of 20, which is common at Step 6, but, you know, Hashtag are getting hundreds, so someone's doing it right, and it's probably them. So you might as well embrace it, although I know sort of, because generally the crowd in lower non-league is of an older generation, they're not the ones spending all the money. It's the youth that are coming up that are going to be doing that. And the way Hashtag are doing it, although people don't like it, is probably the future.
Well, let's move away from then and go back into the game. And as we're saying, the game that I expect Keith's going to be keeping a very close eye on tomorrow, Ramsgate against Haywards Heath. I mean, where do we see this one going tomorrow? Will Ramsgate go against the form guide and help Keith out tomorrow? What do we think?
Well, for me, I'm puzzled with Ramsgate. You know, when Nick Davis went in there, sort of at the turn of the year, he performed miracles and shot them away from trouble into the top half. And there was even, you know, small sort of thoughts of them getting a playoff place. Since then, it's all gone wrong. And I think they've won in nine. I think they've really, really struggling. They didn't have a game last week, but before that, they lost to VCD. And they're really struggling through the last bit of the season. Since him and the chairman, which I'm not a fan of, but since they've all gone into that club, they have transformed it. And the output that they're giving down there is so much more improved. So as a club, they are doing good things, but on the pitch, they're struggling. That's unfortunate, obviously, for Keith, because they're playing Haywards Heath, who are the last chance of Keith getting into the playoffs. Obviously, today's results not helped him. He now needs Haywards Heath probably to lose all their games, and this being possibly one of the easier ones of the last three. But just in current form-wise, although Haywards Heath are struggling over the line themselves, where's a Ramsgate win coming from? It's just not happening.
Mr. Barker?
Yeah, same again. I mean, for me, Haywards Heath are going to win. Like you said earlier, the form guides against Ramsgate. Ramsgate are sort of mid-table, not going down, not going up, nothing to play for, where Haywards Heath have everything to play for, and they'll be sort of buoyed after the VCD result today.
So what are we going to go for score-wise with this one?
3-1, Haywards Heath.
3-1, Haywards Heath.
Well, I'm going to change my little plan. Although I've just been saying all that about Haywards Heath, they've disappointed me lately, you know, in their performances. I don't know what happened a few weeks back, but they had a winning formula with a certain two strikers playing, and then they brought in two new ones, and they mainly play them, and they're not getting the results. But I can't see them losing. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
And I'm going to keep the faith. Ramsgate to win by a goal to nil to keep Keith in it. I suppose moving on to the North Division then, because I know we've sat here on numerous occasions over the last few weeks, and I kept saying to you, Romford are going to get out of this, Romford are going to get out of this, and I think I must be one of the only believers in amongst all of us. But two huge games in the North tomorrow. Brentwood, who of course are going to be hosting Romford from next season, against Witham, and of course Romford against Soham. Let's start off with the Brentwood-Witham game. Are we going to see a sad James Beardwell again at the end of this game? What do we think?
Yeah, Brentwood win for me.
Yeah,
I think we're going to see a very distraught. It's actually quite, it's getting quite bad for him, isn't it? Because like they've not won in about nine games, and they've lost the last six away. Away game. So however well he tells us he does on, you know, he's travelling on the train and stuff, he's travelling home sad from these games. So I don't know what's gone on there. They, you know, they were looking bad at the early part, mid-part they rescued it, and now they're struggling and hoping the full-time whistle can go on the season while they're in 18th. Mm. Brentwood not in great form at all. I don't think they won in about five, but Whittam are fairly awful at the moment, and I don't see where another win's coming. I worry for them. I actually think they might drop.
Well, I'm just looking at the form table again in the north. Whittam are in 20th position with 1 point. They've only drawn one out of their last six games, lost the rest. Sudbury's another team that's right down there as well. They've only won one in the last five.
And they got spanked today, didn't they?
6-0 today, yeah.
By 80, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, 6-0. Two goals in the 90th minute as well. And then Brentwood are sitting in 15th. And then the side that we're going to be talking about in a minute in Romford are right up the top there in 8th. So there's your difference. I mean, how do you stop a run? I mean, Mr. Bark, you're a manager yourself. How do you stop a run when all of a sudden you look like that you're going to stay up, definitely stay up, because Romford are dead and buried? All of a sudden you go on a run that you just cannot shake. Your opposition go on a run that just looks like they're just never going to lose ever again. How do you stop that, and how do you sort of go into a dressing room, say, like tomorrow, and go to them, look, come on, guys, we've got three games left, whatever, and we need to get something out of these. We need to make sure that we're not another victim of the Romford Great Escape.
Well, we had it where we walked into Welling with six unbeaten to start with, then we lost five games on the bounce, I think it was. But four of those were against the top four. So what we had to do was remember sort of what the players were good at, sort of bring up a few things that they've done well over the years, do little things like that just to get the confidence back, really, and just remind them that they are good players. And obviously we've got a lot of young kids that have come from academies and stuff like that. So they've all been highly thought of at certain times. So it was just to get a bit of belief back to the players, really. Bit of confidence, and yeah, you do that on the training pitch, really, little things. If the striker's missed a few chances, you try and work on him and get him scoring again, and yeah, just little things like that. Because if you keep hammering them and saying they're rubbish and this and that, it's not going to do them any good, is it? So Whittam are in a situation, listen, you'd rather be Whittam than Romford, because Whittam are in a better position. So you just got to get a bit of belief back into the players and try and get a bit of confidence back into them.
So would you be tempted as a manager, and Mr. Sawyer, if you was a manager as well, would you be tempted, and I know it's going to sound a real stupid thing to say possibly, but would you be tempted to get Mr. Beardwell in there and actually get him to say something to them? Would you be tempted to do something as weird, shall we say, as that? Getting somebody who's as passionate about his team as James is and get him in there and let him almost do the team talk?
I'm sure they would watch the videos, wouldn't they? And they could see what it does to him and read all his tweets. I'm sure they would do all of that. And they know how it affects them. But I don't think he's got the skills to be able to go into a dressing room or he'd have the want to do that. But they can see how much it hurts him and the other fans of their club. They're scared. They're going to be scared. They need to pull something out of the bag somehow. I think they got Morden and Tiptree and Basildon to go as well after this. Points are going to be tough. They're going to need them because I think Romford will pick up three or four points. So Whittam need to pick up points. This is the sort of game they need to do it, but they're just awful on the road. Mm.
What do you think, Dean?
Yeah, no, bringing someone like James in there, yeah, you can use it to your favour, can't you? Use it to your advantage. Sometimes, like, it does get a bit tedious when you train Tuesday, Thursday, because this year, obviously, the leagues have cut down and there's less midweek games and all that sort of stuff. This year, well, from my years of management, you've trained more with the players this year than ever before. So breaking it up and doing something slightly different, obviously what they're doing at the moment isn't working. So yeah, trying to change it up a little bit won't do them any harm, I don't think.
Well, looking at this, their last away win was the 19th of January, and that was on 3G against Greys at Parkside. And before that, they actually beat Morden and Tiptree away as well, believe it or not, at the time, and beat Canvey Island. They went on a great away away run. But as I say, not one since the 19th of January. January away, not one at all since the 16th of February.
Ultimately, the players have got them in that position. Mm. So it's only the players that can get them out of that position. So a lot of those boys will, if they go down, they're going to struggle by the looks of it to get Step 4 clubs next season. So this is their opportunity to stay as a Step 4 player, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And I mean, you look at their results, it gets worse than that, if I'm honest. In the last eight games, they've only got a point in the last eight games, which was a 1-1 draw with Felixstowe.
It's not good. One of the advantages that they have got, that good run in around the turn of the year gave them, is that they do have a three-point advantage over Romford, and they do have goal difference as well. So they are like almost just a win away from safety, you know, unless Romford can win every game, but that's unlikely. So they're almost just a win away, and a team like Brentwood, that's a winnable game. You know, they're not in great form and they've got nothing to play for. But they've got to be inspired that, you know, one great performance can rescue their season, finish 18th and kick on again next year.
But even a draw keeps them ahead of them, though, doesn't it?
Mm. Well, it does. And then it means that they need Romford need to win two, which is tricky. So you're right, a draw would certainly be probably good enough.
So what do we reckon then tomorrow, Brentwood against Witham? Where do we see it going?
2-1 Brentwood.
That's exactly what I've got, 2-1 Brentwood.
Well, we're going to make it almost a hat-trick. I'm going for more goals. I'm going 3-2 Brentwood.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go on to the other one then. And will Jason Collins... help out Romford against Soham tomorrow, and really sort of, as we've said, probably a must win. I mean, looking at Romford's next games, they've got Soham, then Grays, then Felixstowe. And as we said before, when we interviewed Paul Martin about 3 or 4 weeks ago, it was probably the most down I've ever heard him. I don't think he believed at that point that they were going to get out of it. I'd love to interview him tonight and find out exactly what he feels now, because I bet you he's a bit more upbeat than what he was 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, I was there with you then, Dave, when I done the interview. And he did sound down, and he did sound like he sort of couldn't think they could get out of it. But, yeah, all they can do is win. Win tomorrow, and it gives them a good chance for two games to go.
Mm. And their final two games are Grays away and Felixstowe at home, and I've been reliably informed that the Greys have not got a good record against Romford.
All to play for.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know. Someone actually told me that and said that Greys have, you know, normally have a bit of a mare when they come up against Romford, but of course now there's a Mr. Jim Cooper in the scenario. So there's maybe a little bit different.
I'm sure he's looking at players for next season, Jim, as well. So who he thinks are good enough and who's not good enough.
Yeah.
100%. But they'll see this game. This is the game they need to win. This is their easiest game. If you look, Grays and Felix, though, they're top sort of 10 sides. So are in and around them, and Romford are at home. And it's Romford's away form that's massively let them down. But at home, they've been fine. And they've picked up a couple of good wins. They're on a good roll. They beat Sudbury last time. It's all queuing up here to get another win, go level with Witham Town if Town lose tomorrow like we've predicted, and set up a very good final week of the season.
Mm. I mean, it'd be very, I suppose, a despondent place to be, East Thurrock's ground, if you know, because at the moment it could... We could be looking at two relegations, couldn't we?
Yeah, and then they're leaving there, aren't they? They're going to go and share with Brentwood next year.
Yeah.
But yeah, they could be looking at a double relegation. Not the place to be. Who wants to take that one up?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, do you think what is it as a manager that somebody like Paul Martin does? Because he must have a really difficult job. Because I'd really be interested to go through, spend a bit of time looking at team sheets for Romford and. they must change dramatically from game to game, because as he said before, you know, when he gets a player that starts doing stuff for him, a team comes and cherry picks them because they can pay him money. So, I mean, I'd hate to think the amount of players that they've actually signed on from day one to now. And that must be extremely difficult when you never know who's going to come in with it. Like, maybe a little bit better now because he's got a settled side because no one can come in and nick him. And that might be why the form has picked up all of a sudden once the transfer window shut.
Yeah, I would agree. It's even our results and performances, even at Welling, have been better with you can't sign anyone else and no one else can leave. So, yeah, it's the first time since we've been at the club we've had a bit of a settled side and our performances have shown that. Mm. Yeah, one thing he's got history of staying up. Mm. And what he seems to do is galvanise the players, like in terms of us against the rest of the world type thing. So that's the mindset they've got. If they win tomorrow, it's all to play for.
But he must be a manager that other clubs must be looking at and going, Struth, why don't we throw a bit of money and see if we can get him? I mean, especially if you're in that sort of, you know, maybe the likes of a Whittam or someone like that. Not that I'm saying that any of their managers are in trouble, but if you were looking for a manager and you were one of these sides that was always in those bottom echelons of the league, surely somebody like a Paul Martin would be the first person you'd want to throw a few quid at and try and get him to come and play for you, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's got a proven track record, hasn't he?
Mm.
I think this year will be even bigger than last year if they stay up this year. Yeah. So, yeah, he's earned the right to come, without being disrespectful to Romford, he's earned the right to go to a bigger club, hasn't he?
Yeah. Mm. But do you see him doing it tomorrow against Soham?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they'll beat Soham tomorrow. Mm. Obviously, we think Whittam might lose to Brentwood, so it then falls equal on points with two games to go, and this that's when the pressure does kick in.
Should be fun.
So what do we reckon the score's going to be tomorrow?
2-1 Romford.
I've actually gone the same. Sam Mulready will score. So 2-1 to Romford.
And that's exactly what I put down as well, 2-1 to Romford tomorrow. I suppose before we go, some big games over the weekend, but I suppose it would be not right of us to ask us, you know, how the boys at Welling are getting on before we go. I mean, everything assured now? Are we safe or is there still games to play that you've got to play for points?
No, we've got three games left. We had a great win last week to go to a club the size of Corby and beat them 4-1 and hit the woodwork three times was a massive win for us. And yeah, we've been playing well. We've been playing well recently, so that was coming. So I was pleased with that last Saturday. We've got Bedford Town tomorrow, who are a very good side. They're in the playoffs. Big club in our league. And they got Paul Benson up front, the Dagenham legend. So it's going to be a handful for us. And then we've got two of the teams around us. We've got Dunstable Town on Monday and then Ellsbury on the final game next Saturday. So one win will mathematically do it for us. But obviously, results go our way tomorrow, we could be safe as well. And for us to be safe would be a massive achievement.
Mm. I mean, was that something that you expected when you first went in? Was you expecting it to be maybe as hard as it's turned out to be?
Yeah, I knew we was inheriting a mess. I didn't think it would be as bad as it was. And there was a lot of things going on behind the scenes, and sort of, like I said, we was left with three players in the middle of sort of three quarters of the season into it or whatever it was, and it's hard. So we've given a lot of good kids opportunities to play step four football. I've been very lucky that my sort of contacts in football have helped me out, and I'll always be grateful for that. But yeah, because like I said, Welling have never ever been at this level of football before. They've got no history of ever being at this level before. So, yeah, it's a huge achievement. And if we can do it, it will certainly be remembered for a long time.
I'm just looking. Do you know where you are in the form table?
Who, us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we won Saturday. We drew the week before. And then we lost four, but three of them were to the top three, I think it was.
So you're sitting in 17th in the form table.
Yeah.
And who have you got? Yeah, who is it you got tomorrow? Bedford Town.
Yeah, they're fourth, I think.
Ninth in the table. So they've won three, lost three.
But they're fourth in the league. Yeah, they lost last week. So yeah, there's pressure on Bedford because obviously they need to win to get in the playoffs, and obviously they're another former conference club in our league. And like I said before, I think having been in Northwood's league this year and being in Wellington City's league this year, the league we're in now is a lot stronger without being disrespectful.
Bottom three to go down, is it, in your league?
Two.
Bottom two. Yep. So at the minute then, we've got, what, a 7-point?
Yeah, 7-point cushion with three to go.
Right, so.
And a good goal difference.
Yeah, and a good goal difference, yeah.
So you could lose tomorrow and still stay up?
Yeah. But I'd rather win.
So what's the journey like tomorrow then? Because I know you've had a few, you know, did you say you're away to them, haven't you? So is it a few...
No, we're at home tomorrow.
Oh, you're at home.
Yeah, well, we're either at home or on a coach, so it's it's been interesting. It's been different. We've been to, like, even Corby last week. What a lovely place to go. I think there was 400 there. Good stadium. Like, three, 4 years ago, they were in the Conference North. So, 3-4 years ago, Welling were in step six. So, yeah. It just shows you the difference in size of clubs and budgets and whatever else that goes with it.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Well, let's have a quick flick through then some of these games that are going to happen over the weekend. So, starting in the Prem then. Today's results, Carr Shorten 2, Burgess Hill 0, Worthing 1, Tonbridge Angels 1. Tomorrow it's Brighton Sea Leatherhead, Dorking Bognor, Folkestone Haringey, King Stirling AFC Hornchurch, Lewis Bishop Stalford, Whitehawk Mersham and Wingate against Margate. And then on Monday it's Hornchurch against Harlow, and of course that could also be another day when we could say goodbye to Harlow. Bishop Stalford versus Brighton Sea, Bognor versus Whitehawk, Burgess Hill Town versus Lewis, Corinthian Casuals against Worthing, Enfield Town versus Potters Bar, Haringey versus Wingate, Leatherhead versus Dorking, Margate Folkestone, Mersham Kingstonian and Tonbridge against Carr Shorten. And that's a horrific run-in for Tonbridge Angels. It seems every week when you look at one of their fixtures, they seem to be playing somebody of renown and up there with them.
Yeah, I'm ready for the playoffs.
Mm. In the Bostic North today, finished Abley 6, Sudbury 0, Malden 3, Great Wakerin 1. And then tomorrow it's Basildon and Barking, Bowers, Haybridge, Brentwood, Witham, Bury, Grays, Coggeshall, Felixstowe, Dereham, Tilbury, Mildenhall, Canvey and Romford against Soham. And then on Monday, Sudbury, Bury, Canvey, Basildon. Felixstowe versus Mildenhall, Grays versus Romford, Great Wakerin versus Bowers, Haybridge, Coggeshall, Soham, Dereham, Tilbury, Brentwood, Witham against Malden and Tiptree. And the following day, it's Barking against Averley. In the South Central, it finished Bedford Sports 3, Ware 2 today. And then tomorrow, it's Bracknell versus Chipstead, Chesant versus Northwood, Egham versus Ashford, Hanwell versus Hartford, Marlow versus South Park, Mighty Molesley with the biggest surprise of the season against Hayes and Yedding, Tooting and Mitcham against Chalfont St Peter, Uxbridge, Romania and Waltham Abbey v Westfield. And then on Monday, Ashford v Bedfont, Chalfont versus Uxbridge, Chipstead, Molesley, FC Romania versus Egham, Hayes and Yedding versus Hanwell, Hartford Town v Chesant, Northwood, Marlow, South Park, Tooting and Mitcham, Ware versus Waltham Abbey and Westfield versus Bracknell Town. And then in Keith's division, as soon as I can find it, there we go. Today, of course, it finished Ashford 3, VCD 1. And then tomorrow, East Grinstead, Winstable, Greenwich, Whiteleaf, Horsham, Faversham, Phoenix, Guernsey, Ramsgate, Haywards Heath, Seven Oaks Town versus Herne Bay, Sittingbourne, Hastings, Three Bridges versus Cray. And then on Monday, it's Cray, Seven Oaks, Faversham, Ramsgate, Guernsey, Horsham, Hastings against Ashford, Haywards Heath versus East Grinstead, Herne Bay versus Sittingbourne, VCD versus Phoenix, Winstable Town versus Hive, and Whiteleaf versus Three Bridges. So some great games over the weekend. I mean, I know you said you're going to be at the Phoenix game, Dean. I mean,
yep.
Going to be a good game?
A Phoenix doubleheader, because we've got Phoenix Guernsey. It's a big game for Guernsey's sake, not so much Phoenix. it's a big game. It's going to have the centre section of the non-league paper for our division. So I get to do the report for that. And then 2 days later, we get to walk 100 metres around the corner to play DCD, which is always a cracking game. Lots of banter, you know, the two clubs behind the scenes get on so well. Lots of Phoenix players, Keith's managed in the past, they're all good mates. Keith spends all his sort of spare time at Phoenix having a beer. So there's a lot of friendly rivalry there, but it probably means more for VCD, especially if Hayward's Heath struggle. Who gets the points on that? So maybe them wanting it a bit more might pay dividend. We'll see Monday. But yeah, Phoenix double header for me.
And Monday, Mr. Barker, where are you Monday?
Dunstable Town.
Nice and easy for you then. You might be safe by then.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. It'd be nice to come on this show next Friday and I'm not grey-haired and I'm feeling relaxed. And yeah.
And you might even get a chance, if you're safe, you might put the boots on yourself, might you?
No, I'm not registered. I want to get 3 points deducted.
And just so everybody knows, hopefully, the return of the Wicker Man next week as well. So he might be with us next week as well. So that'd be interesting. And we just finished the show, and what happens? The mighty Molesley join us just as we're about to finish the show, eh? There you go. See, last minute winner. That's what's going to happen. Last
I
minute
told
winner.
Just pitch invasion. I told you.
You see, when that is just fate. Molesley come on right at the end, and as we said, they will stuff Hayes and Yedding tomorrow. No trouble with it whatsoever.
Good luck, Molesley. We all said you'd win.
Yeah. 5-4 I've gone for, Molesley, so don't let me down. I'll need the points.
But, yeah, I thought
so. But listen, a massive thank you to both Deans tonight, and a massive thank you for people for watching the show. We'll be back possibly for the last one of the series next week. We're going to have that discussion after the show, but we will be back next week. Hopefully the Wicker Man will join us next week as well. But until then, and we love you too, Molesley, by the way. We will be back next week. And until then, thanks for everything and good night.
Cheers.